Jesus Christ became separated from the Father so that you and I need never be separated again.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
His name is the Prince of Peace, and that's our subject based on Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and verse 6. As we've looked at that verse, we've seen some very significant insights regarding our Savior. If you look carefully at that verse, you'll see His cradle. The Scripture says that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You see beyond His cradle, His conquest or His calling. The Bible says the government shall be upon His shoulders. And then you find listed in the latter part of that verse the emphasis that we've been trying to make for the last several weeks, and that is His credentials. His name shall be called, and we're given a list of 5 credentials. His name shall be called Wonderful, helping us to eclipse the dullness of life. His name shall be called Counselor, helping us to deal with the decisions of life. His name shall be called the Mighty God, supplying for us the energy we need in meeting the demands of life. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity, bringing down into our lives a new dimension in life. And then finally, His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. I want you to notice with me 2 very significant facets of this subject of peace. The first is this, the great necessity of peace. And it's what I would call ruptured relationships. That's why we have no peace. That's why we have turmoil and upheaval in our world. Ruptured relationships. Human history began with everything in perfect harmony. And then there came an alien element into the experience of humanity. Sin entered the world. It's barely possible for the human mind to conceive of the overwhelming effects, the tidal waves of devastation that have swept over man and his environment due to the spiritual principle of evil. One very precise way of looking at the results of the fall is to define the separations which were caused by it. When we understand that, we'll understand why we have no peace apart from Jesus Christ. What are those separations which came into the experience of humanity through the intrusion of sin into our world? There are 4 such separations. Can I share them with you briefly? First of all, there was a separation of man from God, and that is theological. And then there was a separation of man from himself. That is personal. He has an inward civil war which rages within him. And then there was a separation of man from other men, from his peers. That's sociological devastation. And then there was a separation of man from nature. And that is an environmental holocaust. There is a theological, a personal, a sociological, and an environmental separation. The great necessity, ruptured relationships. The great provision, restored relationships through the Seir Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Now, can I talk about peace for just a moment? And there are 2 things I want to say about peace. First, a brief portrait of peace, the Prince of Peace. What does the word peace mean? What's it mean to you? There's so many things we could say about this, and we've said them in certain others of our messages. Very simply, let me say this. In the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. In the New Testament, it's eirene. At rock bottom, the Old Testament word shalom means completeness. It means wholeness. It means harmony, and it means fulfillment through a restored relationship. That's what it means. It means completeness, wholeness, harmony, and fulfillment through a restored relationship. It suggests to every one of us that apart from a right relationship with God, a man is incomplete. There's something missing. That's why he has that anxiety, that tension, that emptiness. He's incomplete. He's not whole. He is without harmony, and therefore he is utterly unfulfilled without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you've never been born again, if you've never really been saved, you're an incomplete being. The most significant part of your anatomy, your spirit, soul, and body, and the most significant part of your anatomy is your spirit. It makes you contiguous with God. It gives you the ability to communicate with God. The most significant part of your being, of your personality, is dead. It needs to be impregnated with the life of God. You need to be reborn in the Spirit. And that happens the moment you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in that instant, you become complete. You become whole. You have the basis for inward harmony. And you become fulfilled. You have shalom, peace. Now, the New Testament word is also a significant word. The word is eirene. Our English name, Irene, comes from it. To be irenic means to be peaceful. It comes from a verb, eirene, which means to join or weave together. That's what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're joined or woven together with God. We become at one with God again. It means to sit at one. The term was used in classical Greek in the ancient world to describe the tranquility and the serenity of a country under a just and beneficent governor or government. If I were to give just a one-phrase definition of what eirene means, it means this: serenity through submission to God. That's what peace is. Those who are at one with God, those who have willingly and unreservedly submitted their lives to the just and beneficent government of God, are those who have peace. Peace is the word which describes the condition of the man who was at one time incomplete and discontent and unfulfilled, but is now made whole and harmonious and fulfilled because he has brought his life under the authority of Jesus Christ. He's brought his life under the authority of God Almighty. He subjected himself to the authority of God. He's renounced self-sovereignty and bowed before divine sovereignty. He calls Jesus Christ his Lord, and he means it. That man has peace. He has serenity through submission to God. That's the very meaning of the term. Now, I want you to see in closing a personification of this peace. Do you know where you must look to see it? If you want to see it, you must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say three things in outline form about the personification of peace. It flows from three things. One, it flows from his character, his person. Two, it flows from his cross, his passion. And three, it flows from his company, his presence. It's all wrapped up in the Son of God. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. It flows first from his character. That's why Paul could say, "For he is our peace." That is, peace is the very essence, the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reflected that throughout the days of his ministry. In the life-threatening turbulence of the Sea of Galilee, he slept. The others were filled with anxiety. In the frightening presence of the demoniac of Gadara, he speaks peace to a heart in turmoil, while others flee. On the cross, while two thieves curse their persecutors, their captors, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them." He resists the narcotic that they offer him. He wants a clear mind and a controlled will. His peace does not come from the absence of trouble. He's on a cross. And his peace does not come from the presence of a narcotic. He refuses it. His peace comes from his own inner character, what he is, and from his union with his Father. And the more we get to know he who is peace, the more we can experience that peace ourselves. Christ is peace. Ephesians 2, verse 14. From his character it flows. It also flows from his cross, his passion. Paul could say that he made peace through the blood of his cross. Paul could say that he hath reconciled us to himself through his flesh and through his death. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. Sin is that ugly thing that separates a man, as I've already said, separates a man from God, from himself, from his peers, and even from his environment. And all of those devastating separations have destroyed the potential for peace in the heart of man. But it is at the cross of Jesus Christ that these separations are remedied. Do you know how? I've listed four separations. There's one further separation. This is the ultimate separation. Jesus Christ on the cross, where he shed his blood, was separated from the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is the ultimate separation. Jesus Christ became separated from the Father so that you and I need never be separated again. We can be reunited to the Father because Christ has paid the very precise penalty for our sins. The beginning of sin is to forsake God. The end of sin is to be God forsaken. And Jesus Christ was God forsaken for us. The ultimate separation took place on Calvary. And now we have a bridge back to God. The final thing I'll say is this. His peace flows not only from his character and his cross, his person and his passion, but also from his company, the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, there's something wonderfully comforting about the presence of God. It's a very precious thing to say that my body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. It's a very wonderful thing to be able to say that the Spirit of the living God inhabits me, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwells within me. That comforts me. That gives me peace. I think, theologically at least, that's what David meant when he said in the Old Testament, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I have peace. Psalm 23:4. Jehovah could say to Israel, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isaiah 41:10. John could record of the disciples who were cowering behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. John could record that Jesus came and stood in the midst of those fearful disciples, and he said, peace be unto you, because he was there. You see, you can buy tranquilizers, and they'll put you to sleep. And you can buy rest, if you have the money, vacation ease. But you cannot buy peace. It comes from the company, the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Our need is so great because of these ruptured relationships. Sin has defiled our union with God, ourselves, our fellow men, and even with our environment. But Jesus Christ has restored those relationships through his coming and his death. We can be at one again with God, with ourselves, and with those around us, and ultimately even with our environment when Jesus comes again. We can be at one again. We can be made whole and complete because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because of his character. He is peace. Because of his cross, he made peace. Because of his company, he shares peace. We can be at one again. I want to ask you this. Have you ever been joined to him? That's the meaning of peace. Have you ever been joined to him by faith? Have you ever opened up your heart to the Son of God? Maybe that's why there's upheaval and turmoil in your life. You've never been joined to God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never opened up your heart to him. You've never been saved. We want you to know that unless you're saved, there's no peace. Only a deep, abiding, yawning emptiness and frustration. If we say, like the Jews said in the first century, we will not have this man to reign over us, if we will not submit to him, there can be no peace. Peace is serenity through submission to God. If we bow before him and by faith open our hearts to him, we can experience the eternal peace of God. Some of us have experienced that peace judicially. We have peace with God. We're Christians, but we know little or nothing of the peace of God. Our standing is secure. Pastor, I know when I walk the aisle, I can tell you when I accepted Jesus Christ. Our standing is secure. Our state is shaky. No peace. We fail to trust the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the promises of the Lord. We're filled with a turmoil of anger and fear and worry and bitterness. All of these things have gripped our hearts. You know what we need to do as Christians? We need to come yielding those areas of our lives that are out from under his control, giving them back to him so that we can experience abundance of peace. Jesus Christ is many things for us. And as we look at it today, Jesus Christ is for us the Prince of Peace.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We're all committed to building a great big congregation. God is interested in laying a foundation that will provide the truth for the next generation.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.